All right, that's enough. Some of you guys, I tell you, you ain't happy unless you're bitching. I think some people waited 15 games, or they were like, hey, that's a great streak. And they either, A, were in the back of their mind waiting to hate, or B, they just did not watch the games. They heard us and everybody saying how big of a game this was. They went, you know what? Fine, I'm going to make some time for this. It's a 7 o'clock tip. I'll get to bed before 10. Fine, I'll go ahead and watch the game. And because they were playing the Celtics, the defending champion, the team that dispatched us in the playoffs, you watched, you saw Darius Garland. You didn't focus on anything else. You saw Darius Garland, and you decided that it was more of the same, and now you're disgusted in the 15-1 Cavs. That's the way I kind of feel about some of the folks today.
People are disgusted?
That's the way some are acting.
Why?
That's the way that some are acting.
Wait a second. I think
now,
the
Cavs, I may be worked into a shoot by just some by the vocal minority. Maybe that's a possibility. I hope it is, actually.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it wasn't all that different from the playoff series against Boston last year, where you kind of felt like when Boston wanted to, they were going to be able to do the things they needed to do. But with that said, for the Cavs to hang around in that game yesterday when Boston was doing that from three-point range, finishing with 22 threes, 53.7%, I feel like the Cavs, without some of their big defensive role players, feel like they acquitted themselves pretty well.
I did too.
And again, here's the big picture stuff. Nobody's going to pick the Cavs to beat the Celtics in a series, especially when Porzingis comes back. Even if Porzingis doesn't come back, which he is, by Christmas, I think now is the date. Nobody's going to pick the Cavs to beat the Celtics. You're not supposed to beat the Celtics. They're the defending champs. And the ace you have up your sleeve, Evan Mobley, hasn't even begun to take flight like he is going to, which could be 2 years from now, 3 years from now, maybe next year. Maybe by these playoffs, he'll start to even look that. He's going to be so good.
I know.
But this version of the Cavs is not supposed to be at the level of the defending champs, right? I mean, there was a reason that you were 15-0 and you were, by tip-off, 5.5-point dogs.
Well, you lost players before they... I mean, all those guys that we were saying questionable ended up being out. So it was... I mean, you wrote scheduled loss. I don't know if that was kind of tongue-in-cheek or whatever. I was a little bit upset by some of the reaction I got about the game. That's all. I was just upset by some of the folks there. I was like, well, I thought they played tough. And, well, Ken, that's a loser's mentality. Fine. We can talk tough all we want.
It was a physical game. It's really hard to be physical with a team that can space the floor like that and shoot from so far out. You just don't, you know, and they were allowing it. I thought the officials kind of called it like a playoff game.
Yeah.
For a while. I think they were allowing a lot of physicality. You saw players griping the entire, my God, Jaylen Brown, every shot he took, he was looking at the refs. Darius, every shot he took, was looking at the refs. Donovan was looking at the refs. But they officiated like a playoff game. And so I loved it. Just from a fan perspective, I loved seeing a real test. Because as much fun as that Chicago Bulls game was, where it was, you know, just sprint down, shoot a three, sprint down, shoot a three, sprint down, shoot a three, dunk, dunk, sprint down, shoot a three. This was a real challenge. And you don't get a lot of these in November in the NBA. So I don't know if it's the streak, the cup. I mean, we debated that, but I thought
it's not the cup.
I think you've seen around the NBA, guys are talking about the cup a lot and how much more the games kind of mean.
No, I still don't think. I think
the fans
those
don't,
games,
but I think the players are treating it a little differently.
If they want to treat those other games, fine. I think that this was a 15-0 team taking on a defending champ in the East that got rid of them in the postseason last year, which I think the streak didn't matter. Well, Derek White was asked a question. This is with the question on. All right, here's the question and the answer from Derek White about the streak. This is Derek White of the Boston Celtics. Hit it.
Is there any, like, did you guys talk about the fact that they were undefeated? Like, was there any extra motivation between you guys as a team, like, wanting to be that first loss for them?
Yeah, we knew. I think everybody knew that they were undefeated. And, I mean, coming to our building, and, I mean, also it's an NBA Cup game. We already lost one game, so it was a really big game in that aspect. So, we were all aware.
He mentioned the NBA Cup. I say it stands somewhat corrected.
Well, I think for the fans, it's only year two of this. And for the fan, we're not getting paid extra money to watch these games.
No.
I do think the cup matters a little bit. I don't think it's like the playoffs or anything like that, but I do think you're seeing teams play to completion in almost all these games. I think there was one blowout last night. Well, every other game went pretty much in the last 3 minutes.
That's fair. I mean, I did say, like, yeah, does Donovan Mitchell need the money? No. Does Ty Jerome need the money? Yeah. $500,000 to win the entire thing would be nice. And there's players on. I know Boston is a team of well paid professionals, but I bet there's guys who are contributors on that team that probably would like an extra $500,000. I mean, everybody likes extra money, but I mean, there's some people that's a quarter of their salary, for crying out loud. So, okay, I could see that, because you always want to be a good teammate. So I said that a couple days ago, and I can agree with you there. I thought, though, that, again, going back to the game, there were a couple of times watching it, I thought, like, this is where maybe the wheels come off and we just go quietly into the night. I didn't think that went that way whatsoever. And to paddle back, I mean, they were down by three. They had a chance. They had a couple of open looks. They couldn't knock it down. Then they missed the bunny. I think that hurt. I told you that before the show. Just a couple of times where they were right back in it. They just couldn't. Because it's when you're down by as many as, what, 10 at one point, it makes it difficult. I mean, I know in the first half they were down by more than 10 a couple of times, but it makes it difficult to go all the way back and then get past. You know, you can get back in, but then to get over that hump, it's a tough thing against a good team. But again, 120 to 117, I didn't think that they... I'm sorry, but if anybody thinks that they you-know-what had down their leg, I just totally disagree. I do not think that was bright lights or anything like that. I mean, Darius... Yeah, he had a rough day at the office, and we'll talk about that throughout the day. But I didn't think all of a sudden you needed to trade Darius Garland or anything because of that over that performance yesterday. No.
Well, they have the one. They're the one team. It's amazing in this apron era where all these teams are starting to talk about their limitations in team building, how they can put together complete rosters. Yes. Boston has almost a perfect team. They have a perfect team because
as much as you could have, yeah.
How could you do better than that? How in the world do you get Holiday and Derek White, who are the best perimeter defenders? They're two of the top five perimeter defenders in the league. They're on the same team. And you have a team that right now at this stage, until Evan Mobley really takes off, you are guard oriented. And those guys can make Darius Garland works so much harder than the 98% of these teams in the NBA that don't even try to stop you at the point of attack in a regular season game. Yeah, playoffs get tougher, and I've had my concerns about Darius in the playoffs and physicality and how he's going to create. And then he came out this year and played like a bat out of hell. He played like an all-NBA guy. I mean, his shooting has been incredible. There was a piece that came out on Yahoo! Yesterday, which was using quotes from a year ago, because they had an article written about Darius Garland last year, and then he got injured. So they never released the article. So they used some of the quotes from last year. It's kind of an interesting piece. But it goes into all the percentages of Darius, and they are elite percentages across the board. The floater, the catch and shoot, the off-the-dribble threes, like the assists, everything he's doing is... all at literally an all NBA level. And then last night it looked like playoff Darius Garland that really, really struggles against size. And, you know, he was doubting himself. He started to, instead of, you know, hoisting immediately. Now he still got shots up. So I'll give him that. I know people were really upset that he took 21 shots.
Well, that one in the corner when they were, I think was to put him up by one, and he was like willing. He's trying to will it in. I go, man, that's not.
And he was in his
that's
head.
That's not confident.
But in
that's
a way, you could tell that Atkinson and Donovan Mitchell were telling him during every timeout, keep shooting, keep shooting, because they have faith in him.
It's the only way to get through it.
They could not believe that he was that bad. Yep. And for whatever reason, he cannot get by Al Horford.
Well, they know.
Not happening. He can't do it. Maybe he's got to know the scouting report by this time, because Al Horford was inviting. They love that switch. They love that switch because they don't think Darius can get by him because he's got long arms. He's going to block it every single time. There was a play in the first quarter where I think he blocked Darius with both hands, which you never see. Like, he altered him with one hand and then came across to the others. He's just got too much size
for him.
Well,
this is where your pragmatism was, and I couldn't fully disagree with you yesterday, but I was so hyped and excited. It was a truth I didn't want to hear. Like, this is it's a big game. It's also a game that's in November that you're going to have to work on a few things. And to tell Darius Garland to keep Darius shooting, that's one of the things that you're working on. Because you know you're not going to be able to do anything in May unless you start to work these things out now and work them out throughout the regular season. So, like, you remember Evan Mobley last year. It's like, all right, this is the lead up, the ramp up and everything. And I know it didn't necessarily go until we got to the Boston series where Jarrett was out. And then he started to show up, and then it kind of made the light go off for a lot of fans. Like, maybe they shouldn't be sharing the floor as much. That changed a few people's perspectives. But for Darius, there's no doubt that Darius has battled confidence issues. And throughout his career, he is, I mean, from the very beginning, like he first started, it's like, hey, get in the corner, don't gather, just shoot. Got to keep shooting. I don't care what the final score is, just shoot. And I think that he's been able to do that. And this is where some of the criticism here. In the grand scheme of things, yeah, like he is a better shooter against teams that aren't the Boston Celtics because the stage isn't as big. I think that's the next step. However, again, I think you watch the first 15 games of the season. I don't know how. I'm disappointed that Darius was so bad yesterday, but I don't think it's all of a sudden a reason to go back to the old who do we trade him to? What can we get? Conversations.
Yeah, far too early
that we had in the second half. Like, I think it's just unbelievable. So that was some of the things that I was a little bit fit to be tied on this morning when I walked in the room. Was I'm looking at my mentions, going, what are we doing here? And then I said it this morning. I put it out there. I go, guys, you can't tell me you watched the first 15 games, and have that to say about Darius Garland. And the reaction to that was something I didn't like. So it was a.
They kind of made
it was
up,
a little bit upsetting to
they,
say the least.
They kind of made up for Darius because of Ty Jerome and Craig Porter Jr. I mean, Craig Porter Jr., I could tell Boston is so dead focused on their scouting reports because they didn't guard Craig Porter Jr. at the 3-point line.
No, they did not.
He's not a 3-point shooter. You know, one thing when I watched Craig Porter Jr. last year, I'm like, this guy has all the little tricks. He's got all those spin moves, the hesitation. He has these old man basketball tricks that make him really, really fun to watch. He just doesn't shoot. He can't shoot a three. And then yesterday he hits three of them. And those were all big threes, every single one of them. So between him and Ty Jerome, I think combined they were 10 of 13. So they made up for a lot. God, if those guys did not, you know, if they were not efficient, they'd have been really screwed. I think the only other thing that I noticed last night that was a little clunky was because they want to play through Mobley as much as they do, which was awesome in many ways yesterday. In fact, there were times when I kept thinking, man, keep putting pressure on him. Keep putting the ball in Mobley's hands. Jared Allen kind of disappears, and they don't really have a role for Jared Allen when they're running that much offense through Evan Mobley. It's
should
really
they take them both off the floor.
Really well, they've done a good job this year of staggering
all the
them,
time. Yeah,
and it's just not like Jared Allen. Barkley, I wasn't totally with him at halftime when he's like, man, they need to be running a lot more through Jared Allen. I'm like, I don't think
I disagree too.
I don't think that helps their spacing. I don't really believe that. But Jared's been having such a great season this year that it's tough when he's a wallflower like yesterday.
Let me ask you this. Did we see it? Did we miss Dean Wade last night stretching the floor out?
Well, I think
I think he creates
defensively is where I think they really, really, really missed him.
See, I think he creates space for Darius. I think Darius is a little bit better when you have a wing out there to create some space. I thought that was part of the reason he was getting hammered a little bit.
I just think that having Wade out there defensively, he forces Boston to have to think about some of the Cavs switches, where do they want to have the ball, makes them kind of have to give it up one more pass, which can break up their rhythm. Plus, he can get his arms in the way because 6'9", and they just don't have that without him. They didn't have Okoro either, and they could still shoot over Okoro, but Okoro is going to make him work a little harder. But overall, I mean, Cavs had no business hanging in that game yesterday. So if your first thought is, all right, Darius sucked, yeah, that was a big part of why they lost. But if your second thought is, we don't belong on the same floor as Boston, I disagree. Boston would have beaten a lot of teams by 30 last night. That game would have been over for 95% of the NBA.